Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 6, verses 6 through 13. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This ends today's scripture reading, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. All right, speaking of daily bread, let's do a quick survey. How many of you, not necessarily planned, but will likely this week sometime eat Mexican food? Every hand should be up. How about some form of Italian food? Probably, likely, most weeks. How about Chinese or Asian food of some kind? Asian, Chinese, Thai, Japanese, maybe even Indian, like that. All right, we could go on and on. I'm sure you can think of others that you prefer, everything from islands and the Caribbean, to African, Middle Eastern, all kinds of good stuff out there. But what I'm getting at is, these foods have come to us and are available to us aplenty because people at some point brought recipes from their homeland and came here to America. Because we know we are a nation of immigrants. Even if you are Native American, even if you are like my great-grandmother, full Choctaw, but somewhere thousands of years back, her ancestors came across the land bridge or something up north and worked their way down and eventually settled in our case, Mississippi and Louisiana in the south. We are a nation of immigrants. And that's not political or whatever, it's just the truth. I'm not going there. I'm just saying what has happened is, ideally, people brought from their homeland the things that were of value to them and their culture, and they have worked their way into the fabric of America. Even though many settle in neighborhoods with people from their home country, speak the same language, and it's understandable, speak the same language and practice the same religion and that sort of thing. But eventually, they spread out, and the recipes are shared, the music is shared, the religious views are shared, the fashion, the art, political views, all these things are shared because the great thing of America is that we have the freedom to bring our best together with our neighbors, right? Amen? Yeah. And so it is with the way of God. The Apostle Paul, when he writes about this, uses the image of colonists, that those who are in Christ, those who become Christians and become born again, become new creatures, are like, well, they become heavenly citizens. So our citizenship is with God in heaven, and nothing can take that away. But the teaching is not that we just do our best and kind of play by the world's rules or whatever, or we make ourselves so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good until we fly away from it all and we go back home to heaven. No, what Paul says is you need to live as colonists, bringing the best, bringing the ways of heaven to earth. making God's ways come to bear in your food, in your art, in your politics, and of course in your religion, in your culture, in all aspects of your life. Your home country of heaven, which again is not some far off place, it's just in the embrace of God, should come to bear on earth, in your neighborhood, in your living room, in your workplace, etc. And so that's what we see in Jesus' prayer. When Jesus prays, and I mean in Jesus' prayer life, almost every time we see him praying, this is the kind of thing he's saying. And so I want to look at his model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and just break that down in sort of a helpful way, I think, for us, so that we can see what we are called to in prayer. And here's the key. Jesus' model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is really simple. Because I don't think anybody would disagree with me when I say life is complicated enough, right? Our daily lives, our world, complicated enough. The last thing we need to do is have prayers that are extremely complicated. To have our interaction with God to be something that we only occasionally can get right. And the rest of the time we're just struggling. So Jesus makes it very simple. He gives us two sets of three petitions. Two sets of three petitions that talk about the orientation of life. The first three use the word your and orient us toward God's being and doing. So that's the priority for Jesus and should be for all heavenly citizens living as colonists on earth. So the first three use your, address your, to God, and the idea is that they orient us, the prayer, to God's way of being and doing. Your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Talking to God, your name be hallowed. You are the most important. No celebrity, no politician, no lover, no whatever should compete with your fame in my life and in the world. Your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Now, the kingdom of God is the effective range of God's rule. So maybe we don't understand kingdom as well, or maybe it's kind of an archaic or an imperialistic sort of way of talking or whatever. But all it means is it is the range, the reach of God's effective rule. It effects change. It has an effect. Your will be done, which is another way of talking about God's kingdom. That's it. That's the first part, with three yours, orienting us to God's being and doing. Your name be the most important. Your kingdom, your rule, your reign, and your will be done on earth, here. And speaking of here, God, remember me and my loved ones and all the people. That's the second set. Us, three us's. Give us what we need for today. Keep us forgiven and forgiving. Keep us safe from ourselves and from all evil. Those are the words I use. That's the way I pray it. Except when we're here together. And so I hope when we're here together praying that, maybe it's just once a week that you pray that prayer, or maybe it's regular, but when we pray it together, I hope it's not just a rote sort of thing. And if it is, if it becomes that, as happens, just let this be a reminder. Oh yeah, I need to think about what I'm saying. And so that second set, using us, first one being your and orienting us to God's way of being and doing, the second set uses us and reminds us that God is oriented toward us. We don't have to talk God into it. You don't have to flatter God into it. You don't have to say the right words or pray the right prayer to get God interested in what's going on in your life or in the lives of your loved ones. As Jesus says, it's not about the way you say it. God already knows, your Heavenly Father already knows what you need before you even ask. Now, does that mean you shouldn't bother? Not at all. That's the subject of this whole thing for Jesus. He doesn't say, if you decide to pray, even though it's not really necessary. No, he says, when you pray, do it like this. Don't worry about the words. Don't worry about fancy phrases or lots of words. Please don't do it at the dinner table when everybody's waiting, using lots of words while they're smelling the food. But when you pray, orient yourself to your Heavenly Father's way of being and doing, and remember to trust that your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Parent, is oriented already toward your way of being and doing. Give us what we need for today. And he uses the image of daily bread. And does he mean bread? Yeah. It's a loaded word, of course. He means all kinds of things, and bread is a loaded concept. But yes, he means the very practical things of your daily life. Give us what we need to get through today. Give us what we need today, God. Keep us forgiven and forgiving. Make us vessels of forgiveness that flows to us and from us to others. Keep us forgiven and forgiving. And keep us safe from ourselves, from temptation, from ourselves, and from all evil. Keep us safe from ourselves and from all evil. And you can use that for yourself. You can use that prayer for your loved ones, with your loved ones in mind. I typically use it for those things, but I also bear in mind the world. When I say us, I'm thinking of things that I'm reading about or seeing in the news or whatever. I have those things in mind. Deliver us. Keep us safe. Help us to forgive. Give us what we need, the basics. And it all hinges on this concept, these two words, our Father. And if Father is a painful concept for you, you can say parent. Should be a perfection, a perfect ideal of parenthood. So whatever baggage we bring to it, we can unpack it with God, who says, I know what you went through with your parents or whatever, but let me show you what it's really supposed to be like. But our Father, we'll use Jesus' language, our Father. Because in saying those words, our Father, Jesus is including us in his relationship with the Heavenly Father. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, no beginning, no end, eternally begotten of the Father, the Son of God, is including you and me and your loved ones in his intimate relationship with God. He doesn't say, pray to my Father. You don't have to say, Father of Jesus. Jesus lets you and me in on it, our Father. And in saying that, Jesus says, and I'm in on your relationship to God. You're in on my relationship, and I'm in on yours. We're in this together. Our Father. And it all gets summed up by Jesus, this prayer, in the conclusion of that little section when he talks about the kingdom. He talks about the kingdom. Seek first, he says, God's kingdom. You worry about so many things. You're afraid and gripped by fear. And it has all kinds of negative effects in your life. It has so many negative effects in the world, this fear, these worries. But God's kingdom, your Heavenly Father, is here. It's here. And so Jesus says, after teaching this prayer, if you will enter into the deep, quiet intimacy of relationship with God, you will find God reciprocating beyond your most extravagant expectations. Just orient yourself toward your good, loving Father. The more you trust in God, the more you will find God proving himself trustworthy. And it's all rooted in that Abrahamic covenant, the beginning of it all. I will be your God, and you will be my people. I'm yours, you're mine. And so the power of Jesus' way of praying can be summed up in three words. So I think all of us can do this. If you're like, I don't know how to pray, I've got a friend or a family member, somebody who's a really good prayer, and it sounds real fancy and poetic, and I'm not like that, why should I bother, or whatever. Let's boil it down to three words. This is what Jesus teaches his followers to pray. Bring their here. Can we say that together? Bring their here. One more time. Bring their here. That's what he's saying. He doesn't teach us to pray, God, get me out of here. Even though that's probably what we pray sometimes. Be honest. But he doesn't teach, he doesn't live the idea that the goal is to just get us to heaven. So he doesn't say, God, get us to heaven. Jesus says, no. Bring their here. In small part, via my life. Via our lives as Western Hills, via the church, through the church, bring their here. That's what it is. Bring their here. In my thinking and feeling, my mind, in my heart, which is our will, in my body, which includes our power, our money, our possessions, influence, in our soul, which is the core of our being, our aliveness. Bring their here. Make your ways, God, my ways. Maybe that would be a more specific way for you to pray. If you can't handle the simplicity of three words, make it five. Is that five? Make your ways my ways. Yes. And make your ways our ways, all the earth. And here's the amazing thing. As you orient yourself toward God's kingdom, because that's what Jesus teaches, he doesn't say one day, if you pray hard enough with the right words, you'll be in God's kingdom, either in heaven, or he doesn't say, one day I'll bring it. Jesus says, look at the birds. That's God's kingdom. And I invite you to use your imagination. Picture that. Jesus standing outside with everybody. Look at that field over there. Look at those wildflowers, even out here in the desert. That's God's kingdom. God takes care of what he loves. And the God who is love loves all. So don't you know that you, made in God's own image, your beloved children, you are welcome now into God's kingdom. It's here. So when he says, seek first God's kingdom, he doesn't just mean stand around and look at the horizon and one day you may see it coming over. No, he's saying seek first God's kingdom, meaning look, it's here. Open your eyes and look for God's kingdom every day. Seek, he promises, and you will find. Bring there, here, your kingdom come in my life on earth, the way it is in heaven. Bring there, here. And here's the thing. As that happens, as you daily, it's your daily affirmation, orient yourself toward God's being and doing, and you find God already oriented, you remember, you learn to trust God already oriented toward you and the world's being and doing. Those who maybe aren't even seeking the kingdom, or who are looking for something but they're not sure what, they'll see it in you, on earth, as in heaven. Let's pray. Loving Lord, as we come together to this table that you have set, you who have called each and all of us, no matter who we are, where we've come from, no matter what we've been through or what we're facing, you call us together in this amazing, subversive act of sitting at the table with you, of taking your life into ours, of declaring our allegiance to you and your ways above all else. And there is no one who is excluded. Help us to remember when we leave this table, when we leave this sanctuary, that that is the orientation of our lives because it is the orientation of your life. All are welcome. No one is excluded. You are bringing the best and somehow, in your grace, the worst of all of us into your embrace and fashioning a kingdom. Glory to you. Amen.